Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Modai podcast. I'm joined today by Dana Seda, and we'll be talking about exploitation in the music industry and also his experiences as a musician, you know, for many, many years. Karibu sana, Mr. Dan.
Asante. This is take two.
I know. but we've had very, very many conversations about, about this. And I know like your many frustrations, but just introduce the topic in the sense that what's your experience?
For me, I would say that my experience in the music industry first has been positive. I mean, I've earned a living out of music.
Yeah.
Even though there's been, as they say, challenges that I would say have occurred in the industry that are structural. Because I think there's always been some behavioral challenges, but then also some structural ones.
Yes.
And I think
maybe flesh out like the structural ones.
So I think like I've always said, maybe start with the behavioral ones.
Yeah.
I think behavioral or social issues are like, you know, musicians who don't rehearse.
Yeah.
Musicians who don't do business development. Mm. You know, people who are not, he's not running his business.
Yeah.
I think that's small, you know, it affects a big part of his career.
Yeah.
Or their career.
Yeah.
But doesn't affect like everyone.
Yeah.
But then structural things affect everyone.
Yeah.
And I've always felt in general that Kenya doesn't understand copyright in general.
Yeah.
So, and we have a lot of work to do to help our country understand copyright.
Yeah.
But copyright affects everyone, including manufacturers.
Yeah.
But then in music and arts and I guess creative economy, when someone takes your copyright, they've actually taken everything.
True.
Everything that you have.
True.
And so I think that's the biggest structural issue that Kenya needs to figure out so that we can then take not just a creative economy to the next step, but even the rest of the economy.
Mm. Mm. You have worked in the industry. You've also tried to set up, you know, a CMO. How was that like?
There are very many challenges. First, the CMO, CMO industry, CMO sector, they have some unique problems with IP.
Yeah.
And that's if I remove the corruptions. Let's say the problems are corruption 70%.
Mm.
And then now 30% is like the things we can fix.
What do you mean corruption?
There's a long history of people just taking money from the account. Yeah. As simple as that.
Yeah.
And
so you collect all this money and then
they just misappropriation.
That. Yeah.
So I'd say 70% of the problem is just that.
Yeah.
And then 30% is like how the CMOs were set up in the first place.
Yeah.
And maybe a good way to explain it is this. Look, the oldest CMO is MCSK.
Yes.
They were set up in 1984.
Yeah.
But there was no law for them to operate as a CMO.
There was no framework.
No framework.
Yeah.
Until 2001.
Yes.
So you see in there, there's a huge gap of basically Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And so this organization became a political organization.
Yes.
They became a political party. And then they started to do things and operate in ways that were... So these things became entrenched. They started to do lawless things.
Yeah.
And these are entrenched things.
Yeah.
So by the time, you know, the Kenya Corporate Board is actually operational, I think it's like 2007.
Yeah.
Which is even later.
Yeah.
Or 2008 or sometime.
Yeah.
There's just been a lot of time for basically lawlessness and craziness.
Yeah.
And so now, by the time, so this problem has been going on. You know, Kekobo has tried different ways to deal with them. Kenya Corporate Board is now like the regulator of the sector.
Yes.
So they tried different ways to kind of regulate the sector. And they've had many different challenges. And I can't speak for them. They can come and speak for themselves. But fundamentally, one of the problems they had was the law.
Yeah.
The law only allowed for them to license. It didn't give any provision for them to deal with the issues.
Yes.
So over time, that law has been changed.
Yes.
And now they have some more provisions. They have more legal ways to deal with the organization.
Power,
But they still have a structural issue, which is before Mpake, I can say, the problem was that the organizations were collecting this money and then they were spending it in the same way you would spend in a regular business.
Yes.
And then they would declare a profit.
Yes. And then the profit is
Then
now
the profit is what they would say we are distributing. So if the organization collected 500 million, for instance, they would spend 350. Then declare 150 as profit. Then KRA takes a third. Right? Because if you declare profit, now you have to pay income tax.
Yeah.
Then now, after declaring a profit, now they distribute what's left.
Jesus.
So as a result, I think the highest ever distribution of funds to Kenyan artists, no matter the collection, I think has never crossed beyond 20, 25 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter
because of that.
Because of this structure.
Yeah. But what's the desired structure? How should it work?
Yeah, yeah. So like if you look global standard, what people are doing out there is that CMOs have a hard limit of 30% for expenses.
Admin.
So 70%.
So, yeah. So admin is 30%.
Yes. And that's a hard cap. Yeah. Like you never go beyond 30%.
Yeah. So it could even be like 15%.
Yeah. Or whatever. Most, the best CMOs in the world are operating between 8% and like 14%.
Mm.
They're not even doing 30.
Mm.
So BMI, I think, is doing the latest BMI numbers. What I remember was like 16%, 14%.
Mm. Mm.
So they are only spending 14% of what they collect. So that's, you know, a high, high rate of operation. Some Scandinavian CMOs are even doing 8-6%. So they're committing so much money to the artists. This was a conceptualization problem. The people running CMOs and the regulator themselves allowed this. They just didn't properly conceptualize this thing.
Mm.
And this was a central thing that we tried to do at MPAC. It was actually the most important thing we achieved. We said, when you collect the cash, expenses must be capped at 30%.
Yes.
And so then we introduced the idea that when you collect it, at the end of the month when you reconcile, you actually withdraw that cash from the operational account. You withdraw 70% of that cash from the operational account and put it in a distribution account.
Yes.
So that it's completely out of
separate
daily operations.
Yes, yes.
And so that's what we tried to implement.
Yeah.
I'm glad, like, after Mpake, you know, we got out of the industry, Kakuba has actually implemented that as a policy. So now there's a distribution account where money is for all the three CMOs.
And then now operational.
Now they withdraw for the operational amounts and those withdrawals are capped. And actually Kikobo signs off on those withdrawals. So that's been a step forward.
Mm.
I don't know if they're going to implement the other things Askez were thinking, because Askez were very radical.
Like what?
First of all, we digitized the entire system. And then, and this is important, this is where the challenges started. We actually said that for you to become registered as a rights holder for music, part of your registration should include a link to your work that is publicly available.
Mm.
So in this case, like if you're a musician or you're a songwriter, whatever you are, put a link to the song you wrote on YouTube so that we can reference it and go and check it out.
Yes.
You see, previously, what was occurring in MCSK and these other places is because one of the ways that they were pilfering is that you would be registered.
Mm.
For instance, you register me, then I go to the village and I bring 40 guys.
Aye.
And we say, they are all musicians. These are all musicians from my village.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you distribute, they insist on a general distribution, what's called a general distribution, which is you take all the money that was made by the society, divide by all the members.
Oh my God.
Then now we give everyone the same amount of money.
But now these are people who are actually not musicians.
Correct. So now my deal with them is, me, I'll put you here for these chums, but half of your chums is mine.
Ah.
So MCSK, they say, you know, we have 16,000 members. I promise you, less than half of that are actual musicians. If you have to say, show us your music, they won't pass half.
But now the regulator, what's their role in this? Because surely...
I think at the time, if I was to give them some credit, at the time they didn't have a budget and they didn't have a way of managing this.
Mm.
Like I said, the law was very thin. The law just basically said there'll be a CMO.
Mm.
There wasn't enough over there in terms of how you operationalize.
The policy now.
Policy. Yeah. No, actually legal. Because what they would do, whenever the regulator tried to do something, MCSK would go to court and quash it.
Yeah.
You know, by alternative forum shopping, everything they needed to do in court, they would do and just basically get the regulator out of their business. Because there wasn't a hard and fast law, the judge who's sitting would decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and judiciary is not known for being like very switched on for copyright.
Yeah. IP conscious.
Yeah. So there are issues there.
Mm.
And so MCSK kept outfoxing Kekobo. So when the Kekobo made the amendments, I believe it was like 2015, 2016, KJ pushed through those amendments.
Yes.
So shout out to him, did a good thing there. The Kekobo got more power to kind of control that. So now Kekobo is doing this thing called a National Rights Registry. So what they're encouraging is that the musicians and rights holders register directly with Kekobo first, then register with the CMO. And now register with your work. Because Kekobo gives you the copyright certificate anyway.
Yes.
So conceptually, it's a good idea. That, yes. Look, you put here, we give you the copyright certificate, then you can go and now register.
In the CMO.
Yes, but using this. So we have a way of now also double checking that data that those guys give us. So that's a good step, I would say.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit messy in terms of how it was brought in and everything. But it's a good idea that the regulator is being more proactive in the issues that are in the industry.
And also currently there's no active, you know, sort of like CMO, no one has a license.
Yeah.
You know, do you, I mean, what's your comment on that?
I mean, I don't know what they can do because last year they had the three CMOs.
Yeah.
They collected all the money using an agent digitally, right? They, it was all in a bank. It was all safe.
Yeah.
Then they're like, Sawa, let's give you, you distribute. So they got the CMOs to sign agreements of how they'll distribute, you know, 30%.
Yeah.
Then they transferred the money to the CMOs. Then the CMOs just ate the chums.
Oh my God. Like what?
So it was just as simple as that. Like they, I mean, they did all the things, collected it. Now here's the cash. Sawa, here's the money, now distribute. Then CMOs, oh, like, they just ate the money.
So and people, that's,
people have been arrested, you know, in that respect, like I'm aware that there are some cases and things.
Yeah.
But the money is still gone, right?
My goodness. So where's the what okay, I mean what is the I mean to be honest, you know, I kind of feel hopeless sometimes, but I've what do you think can be done? Sort of like tighten not just you know, oversight, but also to just get people paid. I mean, it should be, you know, I mean, this money is for artists.
Yeah.
Why is it going to like a few people? I don't get it.
I think the, I have incendiary thoughts, but but in my opinion, the where we are requires some extreme management ideas, because we are not in a place, ideally you'd like an industry that can self-run.
Yeah.
BMI is a private organization. It runs, you know, ask
up. It just works. It runs. Yeah.
But where we are, because of what's been entrenched in these organizations, and also been entrenched in now the musicians themselves.
Yeah.
Because now musicians used to call me and say they want, I don't have fees. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have fees? I don't have fees. So what do? Like, send me money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would send you money based on what? But it says, no, I'm a musician. So I'm like, I don't get it. But you see what happens at MCSK, what used to happen at MCSK is that you could go to MCSK and just say you're a musician from Embu and you want money. And there would be 4-5K for you there to go home with. So this industry learned these things.
Oh, okay.
Nikona matanga.
Yeah.
So you go to MCSK, me nikona matanga. They write your check. 100,000. So conceptually, it's nice to have a social protection thing, but it's not supposed to be popcorn, you know, like just happening whenever.
It's there supposed to have a structure.
A structure.
Yeah.
So then we are not. But with, you see, the way it is right now, it's just.
Yeah.
It was a free for all. And so I feel like that's something on the artist side we need to fix. We have learned this very bad behavior. and then now we are kind of entrenching it. And that was actually one of Mpaka's biggest issues politically. Because we didn't want to play that game. We lost the support of a lot of musicians because of that. Yeah. They would say
you
we won't
wanted
support
systems.
You. Yeah,
us
guys were like, no, this is how we are trying to do it. We are trying to follow the data. We are trying to. I was like, ah, no. Send me 3K now. I have a problem.
And if you, because you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Then...
So that's one of the things I was saying earlier. This is a behavioral thing we must change. But in terms of the structural ones, I think government has to lead more, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think the whole architecture of the industry has to change.
Yeah.
We can't have a, it can't be any more left to chance. We can't leave it to the risk that those guys will do the right thing. because they've consistently done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So now, in my opinion, if I was a regulator, I would actually take CMOs completely out of the operation of royalties.
Yes.
And I'll just have them there as representative, but not actually doing any operations.
Yes.
So I'd find a way to collect money without them. I'd find a way to distribute money without them.
Yeah.
Then they just represent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just represent the people. Help
so
us
basically,
make a better policy.
Basically policy,
yeah.
You know,
but
advocacy.
I wouldn't give them any money. I would give them money for the service they offer the system.
Yeah.
For instance, bring a bring stats of AirPlay.
Yeah.
For that, we pay you.
Yeah.
Go bring a list of members from county that have earned this money.
Yeah.
We pay you.
Yeah.
Go bring, I would do that, but I wouldn't actually allow them in the actual money. That'd be, I don't know if government is allowed to do that, but I would run that thing without the CMOs at all.
Another sore point, TV stations, radio stations.
They don't pay.
They don't pay. So now.
But they haven't paid for 18, 20 years, or whenever. I think they paid in the early 2000s and then they stopped. But you see, this problem also comes back to just government. Because that's a regulatory thing.
Yeah.
The CA should be aware of that and should be able to step in and fix that.
Yeah.
But the CA has not really been thinking about copyright.
Yeah.
Kekobo themselves have also not had a great engagement with CA.
Yeah.
Okay, now they're in the same ministry. So now I think that
maybe
proof.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, but that's been a gap. But we have also to consider, and we have to consider another thing.
Mm.
The way that the license is charged is also funny.
Yeah.
So we need to put logic. You can't charge somebody based on heads. You know, we can't say you have a reach of 23 million, so your number will be 23 million.
Yeah.
We can't do that. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, because you're punishing success. You know what I mean? You're not taxing successful stations.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good model.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should charge corporate by square foot. I don't think we should charge corporate by head. I don't think we should do that. I think we need to all come together and agree. For instance, let's do 0.5% of gross.
Yeah. Revenue.
So that number will come to 2M. I don't know. Whatever percent. Maybe 20M if you're a big station.
Yeah.
But then you see that number, in my opinion, is more manageable.
True.
So that our first goal with not only stations, but like primary music consumers, which is stations, transport industry, so matatus, taxis, and also bars and clubs.
Yeah.
In my opinion, we need to go fast for compliance.
Yeah.
So let's teach the copyright. Let's have them paying.
Yeah.
Even if it's 500 bob every bar.
Yeah.
Let's just get that consistently.
You start with that first.
Yes, because these guys don't understand why we are charging them what we are charging them.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, we should go fast for... I mean, Kempinski used to get a bill of $1 million for music license. That doesn't make sense. Why is Kempinski paying $1 million?
Yeah.
Why? What music are they using there that... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that charge was based on the square footage, the rating of the hotel... And all these things don't make sense to me because if I owned Kempinski, I wouldn't pay it.
Yeah, that's actually quite a lot. And I feel like also something else we need to do is peg, take advantage of other license regimes to be able to fit.
Correct, yeah.
You know, this particular license in there. You need a liquor license, then it comes with...
Correct.
It comes with now this...
Yeah, that's what Mpake proposed, and Perak was in agreement with us. Perak agreed that they would do... I forget the formula, but it was something like 10% of business, single business license and 10% of your liquor license. So that if you are a restaurant, you just paid... because the argument was... Restaurants only operate until 8 p.m.
Yes.
So our license should be lower.
Yes.
A nightclub.
And then a nightclub now.
Operates longer. Yes. And they use more music.
They use more music,
So the idea was, okay, then do 10% of these two.
Mm.
And so that was...
That makes sense.
Yeah, they're very agreeable to that.
That
but you see,
sense.
If you do that, then the Kempinski number comes from $1 million to maybe 40K.
No, but a lot more people will pay. So you actually make more
money. But that had huge issues in the CMO, other CMOs, because the other CMOs were seeing it as a loss of revenue. We were seeing it as an opportunity for compliance.
When you're building the industry, you kind of need everyone to contribute.
But they didn't see it that way. That was the biggest issue. The reason Parquet stopped working with Camp and Prisk is Camp and Prisk saw that, they used to call them key accounts. They saw that thing of key accounts, Kenya Airways, Kempinski, five-star hotels, as a loss of revenue.
Jeez.
We tried to explain, but they would not listen. It was a big rush. It was a huge issue. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Serious?
Yeah, they're pissed off. They're pissed off.
And then now they choose to work with...
They chose to go back to work with MCSK.
To MCSK and the MCSK.
Then MCSK came back and now really did a number on them and now everyone is unhappy.
Here we are.
Yeah, but in my opinion, unfortunately, with that industry, and I committed, I think it was 2 or 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
The only thing I got out of there was death threats.
Yeah.
People following me in Nairobi trying to tell me they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
Friendships with police so that I could deal with the... death threats.
Yeah.
And then I lost money because I had to fund lawyers, to go help me with this or that. Maybe I paid out of my pocket almost $1 million to just help things and move.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I got out of there and I would never go back. I don't think...
Actually, that's what I wanted to ask you, whether you can actually go back to like that.
Nope.
That
management. Nope. No. I'm not going back. I mean, as a thinker, I think I spent a lot of time analyzing the industry and I have a lot of thoughts and mapping it. So I understand how it works and, mapping the industry and how we could get it to work.
Yeah.
I'm happy to help in that way.
Yeah.
But if the government of Kenya is not firmly behind me in such a thing.
Yeah. You're not doing it.
Actually, let me put it this way. I would do it if I get a letter from the office of the president.
Yeah.
Telling me, you, Dana Seda, go do this thing. Yes. And I'm giving you this 150 cops with you.
Yeah.
Go do this thing. Now I'll say,
you can do it.
Let's go.
I hope.
But otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Because that web, that web is a mess.
Yeah.
You can imagine like money being collected from a bar in Garissa town or a restaurant in Garissa town.
Yeah.
That money is collected in cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a team that goes there to effect the collection.
Yes.
So you can just see there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
There's police that accompany these guys to do that.
Yes.
Again, because this collection currently is being done not from a partnership point of view, it's being done from a ugly enforcement. It's actually terrible.
They
come to your place, police, it's a mess.
Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with. To uproot that, I need an army.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah, to change that thing, I need an army.
Yeah.
Because our idea was, let's go through the association. She said, work through PERAC.
Yes.
And Matatu owners and, then if they pay to the SACOs, the SACO can pay to us.
Yeah.
And, the SACO
it will be a lot of money.
Yeah, and the SACO can charge a 10% for admin fee, and it's okay. Right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Because the SACO has their 50 guys.
Yeah.
Collect from your 50 guys.
Yeah.
Do admin of 10%.
Yeah.
Send to us a corporate money. In my opinion, that's fantastic.
And they can do better enforcement than
and softer. We don't have to get involved.
Exactly. Yes.
But people are into this thing of let's take cops, let's go to the road, let's flag down the matatu, let's shake down the driver.
Yeah.
That whole dramatic nonsense.
It's terrible.
And that stuff is entrenched.
Yeah.
So if I start in Nairobi saying, hey, we are changing that thing. Do you know how many livelihoods and many lines of cash I'm messing
with? That's true.
And I keep telling people, my analysis of the CMO industry back then was that it was 2B, 2.5B as a
whole. At the time.
But the only recorded number ever, 500, 600 there.
Yeah. Someone is basically...
So this gap here, it's not going uncollected.
Someone is collecting it.
Somebody is collecting and making this. So if I come and I'm trying to disrupt this thing, which is what we tried, which is why there are death threats.
Yeah.
So we're trying to disrupt that system. That system goes all the way into the judiciary. People are eating...
Like it's a whole whatever corruption value chain.
Yeah, yeah. It's there. And it's entrenched and it's been working since 2000 and So now if I come with these fresh ideas, tunatoa hapa, tunangoa hapa, my friend.
You'll die. So that's why you need the army.
I actually need to get this mandate. Mimi, I would do it only
so if it came from office of the president. You know, I hope you guys are listening.
And I can report there.
I hope you guys are listening. This man needs you know, I mean, an army to be able to like change this. Yeah, so hopefully,
there's
know.
No other way. There's even no the current way. Regulator, I actually feel for the guy.
Kekobo.
Yeah.
Edward Sigei.
He's the MD. Yeah. Executive director.
Yeah.
But he has a board.
Kekobo, yes.
Mutuma Matthews, I think, is the chair.
Yeah.
Those guys have a hard job.
Yeah.
It's not an easy job. Because you can write a board paper, you can write a policy.
Yeah.
To actually implement
and effect, yes.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And people have said, oh, you know, let's use KRA. Ha. Ha. You try.
Yeah.
It's another impossible thing. NMS has tried. It's impossible. You can't just show up and change this thing because the county used to collect the rate separately.
Yeah.
And there's an entrenched system for that.
Yeah.
Now you come, okay, we're going to use KRA. Hey, Jaribuni. It's a challenge. And so these things, that's what I'm saying, we are in an extreme situation.
Yeah.
It needs extreme measures. like the only way to save this industry. Because the other problem that we have.
Yeah.
And this is a critical part of all this.
Yeah.
The other social problem, we were like structural, behavioral. Now, the social problem is there's a whole big group of musicians, right? Bona fide musicians, artists who should be earning royalties, who have learned to eat from this system.
Ooh.
Yeah. They've learned a way, they have connected this thing. So they have their own collection things. Ooh. And I have their names. I can say
interesting.
Them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they have their own collection things.
I mean,
they have their own things. So those guys have now connected to the corruption.
Yes.
So when you come now to clean up, you're cleaning up even after a guy who you're actually supposed to be helping. He's also in that thing.
He's also in that mix.
That's why. So that's the guy. The first time I got a phone call about stop what you're doing, it came from a musician.
Jesus.
Yeah. It didn't come from... The hooligans came after. But the first phone call was a musician.
What in the flying Jerusalem is that?
A very respected musician. I used to call him dad because of how much respect I had for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I discovered that guy did his own collection system with receipt books and everything.
Ooh.
He was selling copyright huko mashinani. Now you are saying it has to be digital.
So digital now kills
breaks
all these
that
things.
Thing, right?
Okay, that makes
receipt
sense.
Receipt books.
Receipt books, yeah. Yeah. What?
And so if you think, that's what I'm telling you, the solution is the president has actually to, this thing has to be run.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has to be run from a very resource intensive operational path.
Yeah.
That has to be, we do all the thinking.
Yeah.
We create the architecture.
Yes.
Create the law that we need.
Yes.
And then the actual implementation.
Yeah.
I would need protection.
In the beginning, you can need protection because they are very entrenched interests.
Sana. And everybody is actually... the other problem is that it has to be a clean slate because everybody is also involved right now.
Yeah.
Police.
At some level.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
Judges. Artists.
Yeah.
This thing is 70% corruption, in my opinion.
Interesting. You... brought out an interesting conversation on Twitter a while back about churches and lack of payment.
Another group of thugs.
So tell me more about that and your experience with music and church.
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. Because again, church, in my opinion, is the best school of music that the world has ever created.
Yeah.
Because you have an audience that comes every Sunday,
yeah,
and they are very forgiving.
Yeah,
you make a mistake, you know, they just pray for you. Everything's fine. If you sing badly, it's okay.
Yeah.
No major consequences.
Yeah.
So I think as an institution for nurturing musicians, church is the best.
Yeah.
The problem with church is that they have misunderstood they have misread the value exchange.
Yeah.
I think there's room in the church for a value exchange where a musician is learning. And then the church gives them this opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
So there is a good value exchange there.
Yeah.
But once a musician becomes good and then becomes a professional, now that value exchange needs to be changed.
Yes.
Because the church is now offering nothing to this musician.
Yes.
And I unfortunately, churches have never, churches, I would say Pentecostal and the church structure itself has never properly valued the contribution of musicians or even other because they drive this volunteerism idea.
Yeah.
And in Kenya, it's actually in Nairobi, specifically, and Nakuru, because Nakuru is a big hotbed of churches and church musicians.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of exploitation around church because church believes that your skill and talent should be available to them for free.
Yeah.
And that is a fundamentally flawed belief, because the other layer of that is a church doesn't want you to make use of your gift anywhere else.
But they're not paying you.
They're not paying you here in church, but they don't want you to play in a bar. So that is creating a conflict that, in my opinion at least, will lead to what's happening now is that church is hemorrhaging. Mm. Musicians and skilled people, they're leaving.
It has always been like that, actually.
Yeah. So, but now the rate is high.
Oh, the rate is higher now.
Because we can learn music in other places.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You see, initially we were learning in church.
Yes.
Then we were leaving. Yes. And now we are not learning at all in church.
At all in church.
So,
okay.
So people who are starting music, the next generation of musicians, this next generation of musicians that are now
will not
14,
have
15,
a church background.
They won't have a church background.
Yeah.
So who's going to play in church? Let's see you give a sermon that can be exciting as one song.
So then, does that mean that the problem will be solved because they'll actually have to now pay these guys?
To some extent, I want that to happen. I want them to have no musicians.
Yes.
Then to have a let's have a service agreement.
Yes.
But for church's sake, I would say for their sustainability, because the other problem is that church, at the top, church has a lot of resources.
Yes.
I mean, CITAM, 1 billion, 2 billion, no?
They have
these guys.
They have a lot of money invested in even bonds and like stuff. And
kila kitu.
If you look
rich
at those balance sheets, they're all black. I mean, everything is good.
They're rich. But the bottom, that's the top 10% of church.
Yeah.
90% of church is broke.
Yeah.
Nothing. Now, the problem that is being caused at the top 10% will affect
the bottom
90%. And so they have to figure out how they are going to... The top 10 has to solve this problem so that the bottom 90 can survive.
Yeah.
Because if they don't solve, the bottom 90 won't be able to survive this thing.
Sometimes when I talk about exploitation in the music industry and the creative industry, sometimes I feel hopeless.
Mm.
But then you, especially for you, you figured out, all the challenges and maybe how to fix them. So how do you see this space, moving forward? And do you think that, people will just be one day just... Something will just, a blinding light will just come and then change. And then now all of a sudden, the music industry and the creative industry in Kenya will be free and it will be all nice and we'll be all singing all the time.
No, I think we will get better. Yeah. But I think we'll get better in small steps.
Yes.
So I think the idea that there's a Superman like that, that Superman of blinding light, that one won't happen. Even if the president gives me the army I want.
Yeah, it will take time.
I'll fix the structure.
Yes.
But you still have social, you still have issues that you must solve, which I think are step by step.
Yeah.
So I think we will get there. Like, I think this government, for all their flaws, this government has actually really tried to talk to creative economy, to try and find solutions for us.
Yes.
We've gotten the most amendments to the Kenya Corporate Bill that
this is true
I've ever known about. Yeah. I understand there's even work on a new, completely new bill that's going on.
Yeah.
So to a large extent, I think there's a lot of hope. I think where we are, there's a lot of hope.
Yes.
And this government is actually quite interested. I'm not saying they're doing things, but I know they are interested in finding some solutions. So that's good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things we need government assistance.
Yes.
For example, and if government are listening, this is one of the things we have suggested.
Yes.
Give the creative economy a tax code.
Yes.
Because right now we have like a tax code for theaters.
Yes.
And like performance, but give the creative economy a tax code.
Yes.
That would mean that if you have a tax code 33 blah, 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 this is the code, that type of business, you can better manage the tax policy for people in that sector.
That's actually very, very true.
Because right now, operationally, even if you give people a tax break, who do you give a tax break?
Yeah.
You have to give a tax code, a person with a specific tax code.
Actually, that's actually pretty interesting, because also, even within the creative economy, you can have different ones, because sometimes you could have subsidies or whatever, but then
put them in the tax code.
Yeah, in the correct one.
Correct.
Yes.
And you see, if you get a small operational thing like that, for instance, it can help us all as businesses that are operating here.
Yes.
Find a way to now engage with government.
Yes.
Like the 100 million that was given for COVID relief.
We don't know where it went.
We don't know where it is.
Yeah.
But it could have been given in tax breaks.
Actually, that would have been better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it would have been 100 million tax break. So apply for a tax break if you employ four people, right?
Yes.
If you blah blah blah.
Yes.
Then all of us would have gone there with our employees and said, I employ these guys.
Yes.
Me, I'll pay the payee, but
Hapa chini,
cut for me income.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we could have done that. And there's 100 million to do that, and there's an easy way to account for it.
Yeah.
But so that's small things I think government can do.
Well, that's so interesting.
And that would help us all as businesses operating in the industry.
Yeah.
I think also just copyright IP education.
Yeah.
We need that in school. So that we start in school and you come up knowing IP.
Knowing that you can,
So that when you become a judge
later
in life, you have the basic at least, even if you didn't do any IP courses.
Yeah.
I also think judiciary, and CJ Martha Koome needs to give us an IP court.
Court, yes, actually, yes.
That has IP trained.
Yes, judges.
Yes.
And obviously.
Because right now we go to the other court for everything. Now, I filed a case there. My next hearing is in 2023.
Yeah.
When will I get my justice, surely? And I'm there with guys who have family issues. We land. I don't know what. Me, my issue is IP.
True.
So even the day I get the judge, the judge is just gonna leave a case for land and then come and say, "Okay, so you, what's your issue?" Now I have to teach him IP first. Then I say, "Now this is my issue."
And I think also it's an indictment on the legal profession in general, because sometimes I feel like for niches, you'd find that, there are very few lawyers who actually understand. And if there are few lawyers, it means they're also very expensive.
Yeah.
Which means that you as an artist are not going to be able to afford them.
Yeah.
So I feel maybe there.
LSK, give us a thing for lawyers. Give us a pool of IP lawyers.
Because I think for digital rights, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
And, Bake and other... And my friend Mugambi Laibuta, we went out there and got a grant and came and trained a bunch of lawyers on digital rights, and it kind of helped
to move
to move things, because now you don't have like three guys, you have now you have 20 more guys. Now it seems like
it's
it's a thing we can do. Yeah. So maybe that's something the legal profession should
and judiciary itself.
And the judiciary
should
create
an IP court.
I think so.
We need that.
I think
for us to move to the next century.
Yeah.
We are already in the next century. To us move the next 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
The fights are not going to be about land.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's going,
to be about IP. Yeah.
And so that organization needs to change.
That's
the AG's office. Yeah. They need an IP. you need an IP guy.
This is
because
true.
The AG is representing Brand Kenya and so.
Yeah.
And Brand Kenya is doing corporate infringement.
Yeah.
So, come on.
And then also advising the executive.
All the state,
Like
all that issues of, remember that time, the government stole our idea. That thing really should not be there. The government should not steal your idea.
They should be supporting you.
So these are the things that I think we would do. And we are getting there. I think government is changing.
Yeah.
And so I would give them that. The speed is slow, but I would say, we are getting there. But I'd say that's the way. As an industry.
Yeah.
We also don't know enough. We have a lot of people who are operating in this industry, making money from IP, and they don't know enough about IP.
Yeah.
And so they're also a stumbling block.
Yeah.
Because we try to solve a thing, but you need the guy to go to court, he won't go to court.
Yeah.
But he comes to court, I've heard so many cases where lawyers are like, we went to court to ask for a settlement.
Yes.
That guy got a call from the person we were suing, they gave him 100K chini ya waba, akachukua. So now you're in court prosecuting What? Because the guy you are talking to.
Yeah.
Ashakula pesa ukuchini. And maybe you're suing for 30, 40 million.
Yeah.
But then this guy's offer him a million. He takes.
And it is what it is.
But that's lack of knowledge. So we have to incrementally do. But maybe my hope, the bottom line is, my hope is with the people who are right now in their lower 20s. That is my hope.
Yes.
Those guys don't care.
They don't care.
Now, how do you want to mimi nategemea? Because they will move the needle very, very much in the right direction.
Yeah.
And also, there's a transition, presidential transition coming next year. And I think with that presidential transition, I hope there'll be a transition in the civil service. Because the civil service is old.
Yeah.
And so, even just talking with them, these guys are in their 50s, 60s. Kuna vitu hatuelewani tu.
Yeah, it's true.
And so I hope with the next administration, there'll be a move to lower the age of the civil service.
Yeah.
Because a brand new president can do those types of things.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if that happens, we can have a better conversation. Maybe somebody at Brand Kenya will be young enough to know, let's ask for permission before we use a photo. You know?
Amazing.
That's the sensibility we are looking for. It's not even that you pay the guy a million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just starting with, just ask.
Okay.
Just
ask. And to be honest, and that makes sense. And it's interesting how we have all this, you know, you can tell there's potential, a lot of value. And, you know, obviously very, very capable creatives. But here we are. So
but we are not in the government office. They put Ezekiel Mutua there.
No, they fired him. Thank God. But I kind of feel like, you know, it kind of seems like, you know, it's you know, he
hired some people even.
Yeah. So,
stuck around.
Yeah.
There's bullshit in this.
Yeah.
But I think even that organization is changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for the fantastic conversation. And I hope that, you know, even if you don't live to see, you know, a better space for musicians and creatives, I hope at least your children will be able to, because I mean, these ideas are fantastic. And obviously, you had a great vision with Mpake. And my opinion, I think continue sharing these, you know, thoughts and ideas, because I feel like sometimes, especially when you're inside, maybe government, Kekobo, whatever, maybe you're not seeing like all these opportunities to see. I mean, continue sharing, also, things change in the sense that, you know, like there's a regime change next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there'll be other people, other people who, you know, see sense in supporting the creative economy. So keep sharing.
No, I mean, thanks. And I think the people in Mpake, me in Mpake, I found it and I just joined them.
Yeah.
But the true visionaries there were Calvo Mistari,
yes,
DNA.
Yes.
They're the guys who are ahead in terms of thinking about this. And so I just want to prop them because they, you know, other guys can BK, Amelina Mwenesi was actually quite instrumental in setting up Mpake. Those were clever people that were ready seeing where things could be. So they created the space that we could then join and try and help. And I think that's important. So you see now the next move, the next organization people create who has that experience and hopefully things.
This is
so
true.
I'm pretty hopeful. I actually think, forget the people that are far down who are like kids. These guys who are just joining the industry, 15 years, 16 years, I think they will find a better industry. So I'm pretty hopeful already.
Me too. Me too. Asante sana.
Cheers.
All right.